The other thing, too, of course, that I'm looking forward to with my check is that when we loaded up the beta languages, we didn't, for whatever reason, enable the text-to-speech function on our flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy going through our flashcards with text-to-speech
mm-hmm.
because seeing it and then hearing it
yeah.
helps to reinforce it.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking, that's hopefully this week, that'll be up on the site. So I'll get even more out of the flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great too, is that an interesting thing for me in Korean was for a long time I just listened and I didn't do very much reading. I was mm-hmm. a very lazy reader. And so I found when I would read texts that, you know, you have this sub voice that every time you read something, you're saying it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would say a word in my head, I'd be like, oh, that sounds really familiar. And I would recognize it from some other phrase that I'd heard or something. But I think inversely, if you don't have that listening experience or exposure or the years and years of, you know, constant exposure to the language, then it's a huge benefit to be able to hear it and then match that. And it allows your brain to much more easily remember it.
Absolutely. And I mentioned on my blog, there's research now that shows that people who have dyslexia,
mm-hmm.
that is connected to their inability to hear well or to distinguish certain things about language. There is no question in my mind that listening is very much connected with reading. I mean, from an evolutionary perspective, we were listening and telling stories and listening to stories for tens of thousands of years before writing was invented.
Mm-hmm.
And so naturally, we're more, in sort of programmed to understand things that we hear. And mm-hmm. to me, writing is just like having a recording machine.
Yeah.
It's just like before they had dictaphones or MP3 players, they wrote.
Yeah.
So it's just a recording,
mm-hmm.
like we record something by hand mm-hmm. in writing. Mm-hmm. So there's a very strong connection. And that's why I certainly, and the more I listen to something before I read in a foreign language, the more I'm able to vocalize, mm-hmm. the better I'm able to vocalize, the more familiar I am with the text. So there's a real connection.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you mentioned too, which was interesting, is as you're sub-vocalizing, which we certainly do when we read in a foreign language,
mm-hmm.
much more so than in our own language.
Yeah.
And you sub-vocalize it, and in sub-vocalizing or even in reading it, you're more conscious of the connections between different words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of building vocabulary is building up, recognizing these connections.
Yeah.
And then that enables you to acquire a lot of words incidentally, words mm-hmm. that you haven't even deliberately tried to learn, but you're becoming more attentive to the connections between words.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, for me, when I do flashcards, I do them mostly to see connections between words. Mm-hmm. Like I'll often go into our vocab section at Link, and I'll deliberately review them in alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to see words that are variations on the same or a similar, you know,
right.
core, a root.
Yeah.
And that's so important to build up that attentiveness to the connections between words.
Mm-hmm.
And reading does that. I mean, reading is very powerful when it comes to vocabulary building. There's no question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, with that there's... I know when I read in Korean, for instance, I do way more sub-vocalizing, as you said, than I do mm-hmm. in English. But I can do it without kind of that conscious sub-vocalizing. Mm-hmm. But I find that then I kind of miss something to it. Because the one process that I enjoy is the process of sub-vocalizing, or if I can, reading aloud.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I hear my own voice,
mm-hmm.
and then those phrases and those words stick better than just the meaning of what it's saying.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just that sometimes we're... You know, whatever we're doing, we have like five different goals,
mm-hmm.
so we have to decide which one we're going to focus on.
Yeah.
So reading out loud is good because it helps to ingrain. It's that sense of repetition, of
mm-hmm.
getting the neurons to fire, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good, and yet you're anxious to move ahead in the book, so you mm-hmm. want to read for meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you want to focus on certain language patterns,
yeah.
and so, yeah.
It's tiring, it is.
Yeah.
But,
so sometimes
but it's
that's
good.
Why... I think you can read more than once the same text and focus mm-hmm. on different things.
Yeah.
But for sure, like repeating what we hear, like I know an early stage in any language, it's often useful to walk around, you know, doing stuff at home, repeating phrases that you've just heard. And
mm-hmm.
All of this helps to ingrain these words and phrases in your mind. The problem is that we can't do it for every word and every phrase that we have to learn.
Yeah.
But it's sufficient. Like, I'm a great believer in a sort of random approach.
Yeah.
So if you randomly repeat certain words and phrases, that's going to do it. You can't possibly. Like, if I have to learn 30,000 words in Czech, I don't know what the number is, I'm not going to repeat them all to myself. I can't possibly do that.
Right.
Similarly, I can't possibly review all the words and phrases that I'm saving.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's done on a random basis, mm-hmm. and even if it's not scientifically programmed, spaced repetition, like, I'm sure that's very effective, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also quite helpful to do things on a random basis. And to me, the main thing is just to do things that you enjoy doing that are convenient for mm-hmm. you to do. If I had to sit down every day for 1 hour and religiously review all my words, I wouldn't do it after a while.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to tell people, if you are disciplined enough to do that, mm-hmm. go for it. I'm sure that's very effective. But if you're not disciplined enough, or if you don't have the time to do it, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing it sporadically, it's going to help you. The main thing, though, is to make sure you spend the time.
Mm-hmm.
So today you're more motivated to read on because you're interested in the subject. Some other day you're more motivated to read out loud. Mm-hmm. The third day you're motivated to do your flashcards. As long as you're spending time with the language, you are, in fact, going to improve.
Yeah, and I think that's touching on a good point, too, of the accessibility of language learning. Because a lot of people, I think in a traditional approach, you think you need to spend concentrated time on it every day. And a lot of people think, well, I can't really, you know, juggle that many things in my life. You know, mm-hmm. if they have family, they have kids, they have work, they have other things that they have to attend to. They think, well, I can't possibly learn another language. But I think that very fact of, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, reading on the way to work or listening or something, just getting it in, it's a random approach. But I think the exposure is absolutely beneficial.
Well, yeah, I mean, we see there are people on YouTube who talk about how they spend 6 hours a day learning languages, and they do learn them,
mm-hmm.
and they're good at it, and that's commendable.
Yeah.
And I know that when I studied Chinese, I went at it, very intensively, as many hours as I wanted. I was paid. That was my job. Mm-hmm. I could spend 5, 6, 7, 10 hours at it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I did very well. I learned very quickly. I mean, in 8 months, I had learned Chinese. The Russian's taken me 4 years, you know. I've had an hour a day. So, but realistically, most people mm-hmm. have trouble patching together an hour a day.
Yeah.
So, but if you're a full-time student, obviously you can be much more methodical, thorough, you should be more mm-hmm. disciplined, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But people who aren't in that position can still learn.
Yeah, and I think that's it. The joys of language learning are not reserved just for the few elite who have, 4 hours free a day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, insofar as learning a language from scratch, I'm very happy with my Czech, and I have the impression... now that we have Arabic, Polish, and Dutch up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Dutch, I think, would be a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a look at some of the Dutch texts. I don't think it would take very long.
Yeah.
Between German, English, and Swedish, whatever. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
The Polish looks a little bit daunting. I think I might do that after Czech if I feel motivated.
Mm-hmm.
But I've still got to slide my Korean back in there. But the one that scares me is Arabic.
Yeah.
the biggest thing with the Arabic is the writing system.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there again, everything that we don't know scares us.
Yeah.
Anything. Like, I drove down to California. Mm-hmm. Never driven down to California. It seemed like an awfully long way to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've driven down to California once, my wife and I went down and enjoyed ourselves there in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal now.
Yeah.
Because I've done it.
Yeah.
And I think if I got started with Arabic...
Mm-hmm.
And started writing those little squigglies from right to left.
Yeah.
Once I get used to it, it's just the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big factor in language learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's that fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Czech is a breeze. I've done Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've overcome the first hurdle. Chinese, having done Chinese, Japanese was a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Even Korean was no big deal
because
I had done the Chinese, the characters. I was into Asian languages, although they're not related languages. Arabic now is like from nowhere, like it's wow. But it's just a matter of getting started.
Yeah.
Getting started,
mm-hmm.
doing it. So.
And I think that's a thing too of having the confidence in the fact that, like you said before, you read a text in Czech, 3 words, you listen to it 5 more times, and then you read it again, 7 words.
Right.
But I think a lot of people get very discouraged at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it takes the know-how to understand, like, every little step counts, and every little bit that you do is going to help you in the long run.
Absolutely. And just to finish off with this whole issue of speaking, everyone mm-hmm. wants to speak, and people have different sort of objectives in terms of how they want to use the language.
Mm-hmm.
So if your objective is simply to go to Mexico and be able to say a few things with the locals, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, yeah, you start doing that. But I must say, in the case of my Russian, I know from experience now, I mean, I manage quite well in Russian,
mm-hmm.
in speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, overwhelmingly, my activity has been passive.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't want to speak, but because there's no one to speak to here.
Yeah.
And I can't program my day around finding people to speak Russian to.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee that at a point in my Russian where I can't communicate very well, that some guy that I meet in a shopping center is going to want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with me just to amuse me,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm confident that in this process, in my Czech, that as long as I keep letting the words flow in, I don't mm-hmm. have anyone to speak to, but I'm building up my vocabulary, passive,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to start converting itself to an active vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And when I have the opportunity and when the need arises, I will stumble and stutter and struggle, but I will eventually be able to use many of those words.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the more I speak, the better I get.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, people should speak
mm-hmm.
when they have sufficient confidence in their vocabulary, or when they have the opportunity, or if their goal is to use it for simple social situations, by all means speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the confidence in terms of what I am doing in Czech now,
yeah.
that what I am doing is going to enable me to speak. I mm-hmm. don't feel a need to speak now.
Mm-hmm.
But and right now I probably couldn't say anything. But I would say in a month,
yeah.
if I hear someone speaking Czech in a store, mm-hmm. I may just say my three words of Czech and then run, because
yeah.
I won't understand what he's saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we'll
starting from scratch. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening, everyone.